You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said, and we are here. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. And Copper's running the board. Hey, Miss Copper, how are you today?
Hello, it is Wednesday. I thought it was Tuesday.
You were halfway. That's right. Oh, yeah. Hello, Copper. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
When they all start looking alike, you know, you think, what day is this? But, yeah, it is Wednesday. And, so we got a great show lined up for you. I'm pretty excited. So, 2:30 p.m., Tim James is going to be calling in. Tim James is making his formal, now I kind of thought he'd already done it, but he's making his formal announcement today in his bid for governor. And I think that's strategic. If you look at it, the current governor, Kay Ivey, who he's going to be running against, gave her State of the State speech last night. So I'm imagining that he wanted to wait until today and be able to respond to her State of the State. So anyway, 2:30 p.m., Tim James is scheduled to call in. 3:30 p.m., headmaster of Westbrook Christian School, Cindy Greer, is going to be in studio with me right here in the studio, having a great conversation. You would not believe the things that they did to make sure they maintained in-person education for their kids. And by the way, not like it's a high-dollar school, all right? It may be a private school, but do not mistake that for a rich school. They just went to extraordinary lengths because they recognize the value of in-person education. And I thought, what better to do than to have her describe it for us, because it is so important right now. That's going on at 2:30 and 3:30. Copper, we got a triple dipper sound effect ready. Go ahead and hit that sound effect.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Triple dipper for the day. How we're going to theme this show. Three different themes, three storylines we're going to run with. So, yeah, the bottom line is this. You may have kind of picked up some of it already. Number one, State of the State. We're going to talk about the State of the State. We'll talk about it with Tim James. We'll go over what Kay Ivey said last night in her speech. But the State of the State is number one. Number two, the value of in-person education. The value of being, I mean, I've got more than just Cindy Greer coming in to headmaster of a major private school. I've got literally a stack of stuff here that talks about the value of in-person education, despite what the teachers' unions may be fighting for in some places. And then number three, I'm just calling this whole section, let's just change it all. You may have seen the president gave his angry old man speech yesterday. Get off my grass. But nonetheless, it's falling on deaf ears, even within his own party. But he wants to change everything if you get down to it. And I'll tell you all about that. He literally wants to change the rules so that he can change the laws to suit his notions. And it's not good. Let's just change it all is number three on the triple dipper. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. As I was preparing for today and I was thinking about, so, State of the State and different things that have happened. Legislature went into session yesterday. Things that are going on, not just in our state, but around our state. I got to tell you, I got concerned when I began to realize how often we see, especially these days it appears, politicians who ignore the laws. Now, let me step aside there and say, a few years ago I realized that I had never read the classic book To Kill a Mockingbird by Alabama's own Harper Lee. I mean, how did I miss that? How did that even happen? I don't know how I missed it along the way. I mean, it had to have been required reading somewhere in my educational journey, you would think, but apparently not. I mean, it's a world-renowned, Pulitzer Prize-winning classic book with Alabama roots. So, you know, about 10, 12 years ago, I went out and found a copy, and I commenced to reading. And I quickly saw why it was a classic. In 2006, a group of British librarians even ranked the book as one that every adult should read before they die. It's a tale that has a lot of reality in it of things that should never happen in any society, not the least of which is the abuse of the justice system, racism, that kind of thing. As the main character, Atticus Finch, is defending a black man in a trial against false claims, he makes an impassioned plea to the jury. It's a quote that I've got a little notebook of quotes that I love that I write down and I keep them in this notebook. And just, you know, if you don't mind, I'll just read you this quote. Atticus Finch says, "There is one way in this country in which all men are created equal. There is one human institution that makes a pauper the equal of a Rockefeller, or the stupid man the equal of an Einstein, and the ignorant man the equal of any college president. That institution, gentlemen, is a court. It can be the Supreme Court of the United States, or the humblest court in the land, or this honorable court in which you serve. Our courts have their faults, as does any human institution, but in this country, our courts are the great levelers. In our courts, all men are created equal. That's a great quote. And it's so true. It's designed to be that way on purpose. Our founding fathers decided that the value of a justice that was blind to the individual was so important. Well, I believe that, actually. And I know that some want to say that our justice system is rigged against this kind or that kind, but I believe wholeheartedly that even the even application of law in our society sets us apart from so many others in history of the world. What bothers me most recently, however, is when those laws are flagrantly ignored by those whom we have entrusted to enforce them. There's a new trend. We used to speak to the concept of activist judges, right? But now I believe we have to also speak to the onset of a new trend of activists, prosecutors, and political hacks who choose to ignore the law. Case in point, have you heard about the activist prosecutors who are filling out the ranks as district attorneys in major cities? Yeah. Several of them funded during their elections by George Soros. Most recently, aside from the already egregious cases of the DAs in L.A. and San Francisco, is the activist district attorney just elected in Manhattan, New York. Recently elected Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg has intentionally directed his staff to reduce any pursuit of prosecution of multiple felonies at no more than misdemeanor level. I mean, so regardless of state sentencing guidelines, or for that matter, the desire of the city's residents to have a safe and prosperous community, DA Bragg has chosen just to, you know, enact what the new mayor has dubbed a hug-a-thug policy. That's what he's doing. He's just mollycoddling the criminals in New York City. But let me bring it home for you. What about Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham, who determined on his own that municipal court drug possession charges will not be prosecuted? What? He also went so far as to issue blanket exonerations of prior convictions in April of 2021, calling it his Pardons for Progress program. I mean, is that his role, really? The laws are on the books and enacted by the legislature. Should a mayor of one of the largest cities in the Southeast United States be able to just choose to disavow those laws when he feels like it? Or here's another one. Did you hear about the mayor of the small town of Springville, Alabama, who just announced this week that he's running for governor? In his own words, he's running for governor and he smokes pot. What? Apparently, he wants to see that law changed. Apparently, he's not aware of the way government works. Not only has he chosen to be a lawbreaker, but as governor, he would not be the one who enacts the laws. Or would he espouse a position that says the chief executive of the state is allowed to pick and choose? I mean, why not? Mayor Woodfin does, right? And then there's the case of Governor Kay Ivey. You may have heard the legislature is once again considering the expansion of casino gaming in the state. Because surely, I mean, that's the most important thing for us to be focused on in the age of COVID and federal overreach, right? But let's just put aside how any of you might feel or might not feel about casinos being placed around the state. The bill that was considered just last session, and likely again this year, literally was about to write into state law that the several gaming interests in the state who have been breaking our laws, literally breaking our laws for years, would be rewarded by the legislature with a monopoly and the divvying up of the state into different sections to give them each ground to build their casinos. And I thought, you know, surely not. Governor Ivey wouldn't stand for that, would she? Well, apparently she would, because she issued her statement last year that enforcement of the laws on gaming was just hard. It was hard. You heard me. The chief executive of our state thought it was just too hard to enforce the laws. So as a result, she was prepared to sign the legislation if the legislature could get it done. Here's her words, not mine. Here's what she said in April of 2021. Quote, "Right now, gambling is going on. Much of it's illegal and is done in the shadows. We need to put laws on the books, control gambling, enforce it, and be sure the people of Alabama are the beneficiaries of the proceeds." Okay, so let me translate that for you into the language of non-politicians. What she's basically saying is, gambling's illegal, but I don't have the will to enforce the current laws. So let's just legalize it, and I'll try to be better at enforcing laws once I know we can make some money off of it. That's what she's saying. I guess we could also say that about prostitution or illegal drug use. Heck, let's open the floodgates and just, you know, anything we're uncomfortable with, we don't have to enforce it. Well, I got news. You have one job, just one, and that job involves the enforcement of the laws of this state duly enacted by the legislature. Folks, the laws of the state are to be enacted by the legislative body and enforced by the executive. Prosecutors may enter into plea deals, but they cannot choose to openly disavow laws that they have no right to ignore. And executives like mayors and governors, they cannot choose to provide blanket cover for the abuse of our legal system by perpetrators, from the smallest drug possession case to the largest illegal gambling operation and the failure to pay taxes by those who gamble. If we're to be a nation of laws, the laws must matter. It really boils down to that. And I hate it when politicians just choose to ignore the laws. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. All right. Yes, I did. I just called out some people. Don't mistake this for thinking, I've not known Kay Ivey personally for quite a while. I've had a chance to meet Randall Woodfin. I had never met the guy from Springville. All said and done, though, you cannot choose to run for office so that you can ignore the laws. Your job is to uphold and defend the Constitution of the state of Alabama and the United States. Do your job. Just one job. Do your job. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back.